Morning.
Sweet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thankfully, I don't have any depressing economic news to report this morning, so I'm starting with this. A new sweetener hits the market today. It's called Truvia, and it's all natural, made from an herb called stevia. Stevia is apparently 300 times sweeter than sugar, if you can imagine that. So now, in addition to the yellow, blue, and pink packets, you can choose the green one. Elisa Roth has more on Truvia.
The sweetener comes from the leaves of a plant that grows in Latin America. You can already buy it as a supplement in health food stores, but this is the first time it'll be sold like any other sugar substitute. Coca-Cola and Cargill are teaming up to sell the stuff, and Coke says it'll eventually start putting the sweetener in diet sodas. John Zischer is editor and publisher of the trade publication Beverage Digest. He says the diet soda business is big, but it's declining. Stevia might be a way to gain some new followers.
With Americans having a growing interest in natural products, combining that with an interest in low-calorie products, beverage executives think that a natural, no-calorie sweetener would be something which would enable them to add products to their portfolio.
He says he doesn't expect beverage makers to change the formula for their regular sodas. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
We've been getting a breather this week from the relentless surge of oil prices. Oil's down about $8 from its latest record high. It's going for $138 a barrel this morning. Overseas, the stock markets had strong gains today, but Wall Street's not moving much so far. The Dow is down 23 points to 11,360. The NASDAQ has dropped 15, and the S&P 500 is flat. In Asia, the markets finished 1 to 2% higher, and that's the same story in Europe so far. Does the term sovereign wealth funds mean anything to you? Essentially, it's a big pile of money invested by a government. China has one, Dubai has one, quite a few places. We talked about these funds earlier this year when they were investing in American banks, and some people worried about the possible conflict of interest. Today, a group of sovereign wealth funds gathered in Singapore to address that issue. John Dimsdale reports.
Sovereign wealth funds pose a dilemma for the United States. On the one hand, the economy craves capital investment from overseas, especially these days when domestic banks are skittish about lending. But could investments made by governments in Beijing or Dubai be used for strategic competitive advantage over the U.S.? The meeting, convened by the International Monetary Fund, will try to hammer out a set of best practices to assure Western countries that sovereign wealth fund investments are no threat. The guidelines will be voluntary, but that should be good enough, says Edwin Truman, who tracks sovereign wealth funds at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
I think there's going to be a strong degree of naming and shaming or international public opinion that will put pressure on certain funds to comply.
To be credible, Truman says the fund should agree to disclose their assets and profits and how they decide to make investments. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The U.S. government says it's changing safety testing for cars and trucks. Starting in 2 years, vehicles will get an overall safety rating. Right now, cars are only given specific ratings for front crashes, side impact, and rollovers. And for the first time, female crash test dummies will be used in this ratings test. Consumer groups push for this. There's some evidence smaller women are more prone to serious injury in the right front passenger seat. These new female test dummies will also double as children in certain tests.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Brandweek, the news organization dedicated to the information needs of strategic-minded marketing executives with real-time coverage, now searchable at brandweek.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
So far, the job market has held up okay, but I just have this feeling it's starting to sink. The last few days, we've seen several announcements from major companies about layoffs. Siemens, American Airlines, IndyMac Bank Corp, GM. Commentator Robert Reich says people who lose their jobs and qualify for unemployment benefits are the lucky ones.
Congress has just extended unemployment benefits 13 additional weeks, over and above the 26 weeks normally provided. That's good as far as it goes, but most people who lose their job these days don't qualify for any unemployment benefits at all. How can this be? Well, in order to be eligible, most states require you to have been working in the job you lost full-time and for a certain number of years. These requirements made sense decades ago when labor markets were far more stable, when most working people stayed in the same full-time job for years and only lost it temporarily during the downdraft of a recession, picking it up again when the economy rebounded. And back then, one full-time breadwinner could keep a family whole. In those days, unemployment insurance counterbalanced recessions by keeping money in the pockets of working families. But nothing is stable about today's labor market. Every time the economy sinks, employers fire workers permanently. Even when the economy is doing fine, pink slips proliferate, although it's easier then to find a new job. All of which means a growing fraction of the labor force is in a job only a few years. Meanwhile, full-time jobs are vanishing. More companies are contracting out their work. As a result, more people are doing several part-time jobs or are self-employed. They're also more likely to be part of a couple whose family depends on two sets of paychecks. So when times get tough, as they are now, and people lose a job after having it for only a few years, or lose their part-time job, or lose their client, or when one member of a couple loses earnings, a family can be in real trouble. And there are no unemployment benefits, not even partial benefits, to help them out, or to help counterbalance the economy as a whole. It's a disgrace that most Americans who lose their jobs don't qualify for unemployment insurance. Congress should expand coverage so a majority of American families have some security in these perilous times.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Feel free to share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.